Thanks, Rupert. Morning, everybody. It's a real privilege to be here speaking this morning. Quite enjoy it. Hope you will too. So I'm going to speak about the Holy Spirit as oil. And when Rupert asked me to do this, I kind of looked at him and went, oh, I'm not quite sure what to do with that. And recently, my friend Malcolm spoke about sheep in a meeting. He did an excellent study on sheep and explained, really brought to life for us the significance of sheep in the Bible and in, like, Bible times, the life of people there. So I think that's what I want to do this morning with oil, is to look a bit more at what was the significance of oil, and it's olive oil that all the references are in the Bible to it, to people that were living when Jesus was around and before that, and so that we can really understand when there are verses in the Bible about oil or stories that include it, what's the significance of it? Because I think it's far more significant than the little bottle of olive oil that we have sitting on our shelves that we just use for cooking, and it's a bigger part of their lives as well than olive oil is for us today. And really what I feel is that for oil, for those people, was something that was very much part of their everyday lives. But it was also something that was really valuable and precious and quite expensive, actually. So they used it every day, but it was quite valuable. And I was trying to think if there's anything that we really have in our lives that's like that. And I couldn't think of anything. You can maybe tell me at the end if you can come up with something. So it's just maybe something to keep in the back of your mind. I feel like that's what I really want to think about the Holy Spirit being for us today. If the Holy Spirit as oil is something that we want to be part of our everyday lives, but that she, breath of God, is really precious to us in our everyday lives. As Rupert mentioned, I just got back from a holiday in Morocco, which was very nice and nice and hot. And it really brought to life for me, when you visit countries like that, if you've had the privilege to do that, what life was maybe like in Bible times. So visiting that part of the world where it's really dry and it's really dusty and it's hot, and you see donkeys walking along the road and you go, oh, I can imagine Jesus riding one of those. And it kind of, the stories of the Bible come to life. And we stayed in a house in a village with a roof made of mud and straw, and went up onto the roof and kind of banged it and went, oh, I can imagine trying to dig a hole through that and lowering someone in it. And that'd be quite difficult, actually, and quite messy. And what would you do afterwards? And, you know, so just really, it's a good question. You never thought about that, did you? It really brought to life for me some of the stories of the Bible. So that's what I like to do with oil today. And then I'm going to talk about three things that I feel God's got for us, particularly this morning. I've just been praying about this week, and Rupert's also kind of input into that. So, olive oil. How do you make it? Really easy, actually. You just need some olives. And then you have to pick them at the right time, though. Otherwise, it doesn't taste good. Too early, then it's kind of bitter. And too late, then it becomes rancid. Not good. So, pick the olives at the right time. And in Morocco, there's loads of olive groves. It just is like a dry desert with these gnarled old trees growing everywhere. And you kind of think, what can come from that? And we saw some little olives growing as well. And they were kind of dry. Yeah, didn't look that tasty. Didn't look that, like, there's going to be that much oil coming from them. But when they grow to the right size, you pick them at the right time, then you grind them, and this oil just starts coming out of the olives. That's extra virgin olive oil, by the way. So the stuff that you get in the shops is extra virgin. The reason it's extra virgin is because it's come straight from grinding the olives for the first time. And then you can press the paste that's left over after you've ground them and got out the extra virgin. And that's just the normal olive oil. That's why it doesn't taste so good, because it's kind of the next kind of part of the oil. It's not so good. That's why you pay for it. And interestingly enough, I was reading on Wikipedia. So I'm not, you know, maybe we need to go. Yeah, source of good, but not always reliable information. So we might need to check this. Apparently, in the lamps that they used in the Talmud at Hanukkah, they used oil in those, olive oil rather than candles. But they would use the really pure olive oil, which came from the first drop of oil squeezed from any olive. Can you imagine that? It's quite a lot of work, isn't it? Sit there, squeeze an olive, one drop, right, put it in the extra virgin olive oil batch, get the next olive. So yeah, quite precious. That's what they used to use, and that's a symbol, I suppose, of the value that they placed on in their worship at that time. So what do they use it for? Oil was incredibly important back in the day, and still is now in hot countries like that, because it's the only type of fat that they had, really, other than butter, other than animal fat. They didn't have butter. They didn't have body lotion or, you know, what other types of, you know, vegetable oil, lard, rapeseed oil, all that kind of stuff. That was all they had, so they used it in lots of different ways. One way that they used it, I already mentioned, was for light, use it in lamps, and it's the only oil they had for it, so produce light. They used it in food instead of butter, so you can imagine all the times that you're cooking, just using olive oil. They used it in medicinal ways as well, which may be a bit surprising, to put on wounds, which protected the wounds and soothed them. And there are verses in the Bible about being soothed with the oil of healing. So that's what they used to do, kind of clean it up, put some oil on, bandage it up. Job's a good un. And actually, oil is still used in medicine today. Again, it's a Wikipedia fact. I can't remember what kind of particular type of lotion or something, because people aren't allergic to it, so they still use it today. They also use it for cosmetic purposes. So to make soap, but also kind of moisturising, like I said, instead of moisturising lotion. And again, there are verses about when you fast, don't go around with a sad face and have ashes and kind of clean yourself up, put some oil on, go out with a smile on your face so people don't know that you're fasting. It'd be a bit weird if we did that today. And then obviously they used it for religious purposes as well. And it's mentioned multiple times in the Old Testament as the offerings made to the temple of grain, new wine, and oil. And those three things are offered really regularly. So it's one of those. It's a key part of their lives, and something that they gave to God on a regular basis because it was valuable, because it was something that that was precious to them, and so therefore they wanted to give it to God. Obviously, as well, another use for oil was anointing things and people. Consecrating them to God, so by putting something of value onto a person or a building or a thing, then it was saying a symbol of setting it apart for God. And they did that for the kings, obviously, but other ways as well. And that word, the word anointing, is actually not just to kind of dab it on or pour it on, though you do get that sense from some of the verses, but the word means to rub in. So it wasn't just that they kind of little splash, but actual real kind of, rubbing in like you would with moisturizing lotion. And that's something that's we're going to pick up on a bit later as we respond, is just to have that sense of actually as the Holy Spirit is with us and as we choose to engage and receive from him, that we need to be actively rubbing in, you know, making that active faith to receive from him. So oil was part of their everyday life, and it was also something that was hugely valuable, and that preciousness, that spiritual significance of oil is something that we, you know, the Holy Spirit wants to be for us today, and but also to be part of the our everyday lives, and to be just, you know, for us to be engaging with him as we go throughout our days. One of my favorite things about being on holiday was I went with my friend Heather Gardner, who some of you know, and she's amazing, because every little challenge or situation we came up against, she'd be like, right, let's just pray now. So just pray walking along, or we need to find a new hotel. Right, okay, let's pray. And I kid you not, like, it's really simple, but God just has really eased our journey. And people had said, oh, going to Morocco is really hassle. Like, every time we prayed, we made a bus connection that we needed to, or we found an amazing hotel or apartment that was, like, perfect for our budget, or we met some amazing people. And just brought, I guess, yeah, just showed me how interested God is in our lives, and if we choose to invite him in, then he can really act in that. So what does God or the Holy Spirit want for us today? What does he want to be for us today? In praying about this morning, felt like there was three things that God wanted to give to us. And sometimes when we think about the Holy Spirit as oil, or oil in general, is a real focus on anointing and consecrating things, and that sense of commissioning or being set apart, which is awesome. It's really important. I really feel like actually today, though, God wants to speak to us about the Holy Spirit being a gift for us, and the oil signifying something that the Holy Spirit wants to give to us. And really ties in with what different people have said, and particularly about revival being about bringing life to us. And so as I was thinking and praying, just felt like God wanted to pour out his generosity on us, that this revival or this life that he wants to give us isn't something, maybe in this season, isn't something that we need to strive after, but something he wants to really pour out on us and be generous with us. In that. So the first thing was the Holy Spirit wants to come and bring the oil of gladness to us. We had a sense that there may be people here that have been mourning, have been sad, have been walking around with a long face, or have been through tough times. I've had a bit of a tough week at work, HBOS, as you might know, so going through the mill a little bit, and that's impacting on me slightly, but not as much as some people. And so I think that's maybe something he wants for me, but I think there's a lot of other people here that God just really wants to give that gladness to. And it's mentioned in Isaiah 61. The really famous verses that Jesus then read out, you know, when he came, the start of his ministry, that what he was being called to was, that starts, the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me, and it goes through some different things. He says, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. It's mentioned again in Psalm 45, which... Hold on a second. Okay. You love righteousness and hate wickedness. Therefore God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy. And there's something in that psalm. That's our choice to love righteousness. And there is a therefore in that sentence. I think sometimes it's easy to forget about those things, but there's something that we can think about that as we receive the oil of gladness or the oil of joy. Is there something that we need to do about responding with righteousness? But I really feel like that's something God wants to give to us today. And that gift is a real, with all of these things, there's a real generosity and richness in it. The oil signifies that richness and generosity. And therefore, you know, as we receive it, it's not just out of, you know, a limited sense of God that we have, but actually he wants to bless us with richness and goodness. The second thing is the oil of healing. And I mentioned oil used to be used as part of the kind of healing process and medicinal. And it's mentioned in the story of the Good Samaritan in Luke and in the other Gospels. Just that Good Samaritan gets beaten up, taken back to the... not the Good Samaritan. The man gets beaten up. Good Samaritan takes him back. And that's part of the healing process, to get poured oil on him. And I really feel like God has got healing for us today, for some of us that need it. And I don't necessarily feel like that's limited to physical healing, although that might be the case. But actually there might be some of us here that really need some emotional healing, or some kind of, there's some thought patterns that are just sticking in our heads that we need to be healed from. And God wants to rub that in on us like a salve, like a balm that just brings ease. You know, when you put on kind of antiseptic cream, that it is slightly greasy, and it just brings soothing to places where it hurts. So I think that's, you know, something that some of us need to receive from God today. The last thing is the oil of kindness, which I kind of made up, but it's not necessarily referred to in the Bible. But a real sense of the Holy Spirit coming in God's in his kindness and generosity, and just wanting to, it's much more than blessing us, you know, it's about God just loving on us, and like your friends are kind to you when they don't need to be, and when you don't necessarily even need it, they're just kind. So Heather Gardner, when we were on holiday, she's done a massage course, and she brought some massage oil with her. And one day we came home from the market or wherever, and my feet were covered in dust and smelly and stinking and horrible. And she was like, "Joy, do you want a foot massage?" I'm like, "Oh, if you really want to give me one, I'm not sure you do." So we washed my feet, and then I lay on the couch and she massaged them for like 20 minutes, and with this beautiful scented oil. And my feet went from being all dry and dusty and dirty and stinky to being nice and soft and supple and smelling good. For literally for 2 days, this oil stayed on my feet. So every time, yeah, you don't really smell your feet that often, do you? But they smelled good for 2 days. And that's a real picture that I have, that the Holy Spirit wants to be for some of us today, is to just come and be good and be kind to us. And that part of that, you know, that kind of ties in with that Jesus washing the disciples' feet. It's one of his last acts with them, being kind to them. And mixed in with that, in a slight abuse of scripture, where the woman came and anointed Jesus' feet with nard, that perfumed oil, a really precious oil that would have scented him as he went to die. I almost feel like that's what Jesus maybe wants to do for us today. And again, it's not just about God giving to us out of a limited sense, or like, you know, just a little thing. Actually, he wants to be really generous to us today, and giving to us and being kind to us out of that heart of generosity and richness, which we all need. So that's me done. We've thought a little bit about oil, and the Holy Spirit being something as oil that's valuable to us and yet part of our everyday lives. And those three things of gladness and healing and kindness that feel Holy Spirit wants to be for us today and to pour out on us. And so I'd like to just give you guys a chance to respond to whichever of those things, or maybe there's something else, maybe from the words earlier that you want to respond to. So we're going to put on some music just for kind of background noise, and have 2 minutes or 2 or 3 minutes to just sit in your seats and pray and listen, and then you can be able to respond in a more active way that links in with the anointing of choosing to rub in some of that oil into us as an act of faith. So the first thing, the oil of gladness. If you feel like you need some gladness in your life, you need some joy in your life, then there's a table up at the back on your right, and there's some oil in a dish there. And just to literally go and either put it on your hands or on your forehead and rub it in as an act of saying, yes, God, I believe you want to give this to me. This that we need to respond to. And you can spend some time sitting there, or you can come back to your seat. The second, the oil of healing. I'm going to have, again, some more oil down at this table here. And it'd be great if people could just go and rub in some of that oil on them on themselves, where something is sore that signifies a place that's hurting inside you. You might need to be a little careful with your clothes because it does stain. But and spend some time just engaging with God in that and receiving his healing where he wants to give it to you. And then the third one, the oil of kindness. We're going to give you a chance to receive some of that kindness of God through the hands of some people in this church. There's going to be some girls up at the back doing foot massages and hand massages. So we've got some water as well. You can wash your feet beforehand. But if you'd like to, if you just feel like you'd like to get a gift from God of his kindness, then there's a few of us that are going to really feel called to bless you today through that. So and we'll stay around after the service as well if there's too many people. So and if you don't want to get a massage but you feel like you want to respond to that word, then please just go up there and take some. We've got some scented oil, and again you can just rub it into your hands yourself as an act of receiving that. So a couple of minutes sitting, reflecting, and then I'll give you a shout and you can choose to respond how you want to. Okay.
was Song Joy got for us was Psalm 91, just being sung in Hindi. I wonder if the band could come back. We're just going to take the next 20 minutes just to respond to God, to have some space, to continue to worship, for reflection, to move in some way if you want to do that. There is no obligation, so you can stay in your seats if that's a place you prefer to be. It would be great if a few people would just come here and just lay hands on folks for the healing, either physical or emotional healing. Anne's going to do that. Maybe there'd be one or two other people. Just do that. But what I really feel is the focus is about us coming to God individually, saying, God, I need you to revive my heart in some way. I need some physical or emotional healing. I need some gladness in the midst of adversity. Or I want to receive your kindness. And so there are people here who may serve us in some way by massaging or praying. But actually it's about us coming to the Lord directly. We don't need a mediator. We have access directly. And so the act of faith in these two places in particular is about rubbing the oil into the part of our body which needs it. When I discovered that anointing has this root word in the Hebrew and in the Greek about being rubbed in, it was just something I thought, that's fantastic. The Holy Spirit isn't just on us, although that's clearly there in Scripture, but the Holy Spirit is in us. And there's something about this revival which I think is about personal transformation. It's about the changing inside us that we reflect Jesus and we find the healing or the freedom or the life that we need from him. So we're just going to take the next 20 minutes to move. If this is a bit weird for you, never been in church that have done something like this, that's okay. You can just sit there and enjoy this space. The band are going to sing. You can join in with some of the worship. We may gather just together at the end if there's time. If there's not, we'll do it another time. Should we just stand? We've been sitting for half an hour or so. And then you can just feel free to do what's meaningful for you. If you'd like some prayer, but you don't want to go to one of these three spaces, just ask a neighbor, ask someone. Say, could you pray for me? Or can we pray together? Let's just allow God to revive our hearts. Holy Spirit, we so need you and acknowledge that you are the life that we want and need. You bring life to us. And so we just give you freedom now, Holy Spirit, to do what you want to do in each one of us. Lord, we're all unique and different. There are different things that you're speaking to us about and you're doing in our hearts. And Lord, somehow corporately together, but also individually, we want to respond to you. To say, Lord, would you revive my heart? Would you revive our hearts? Would you breathe life? Would you breathe the fire? Would you breathe that oil or release that oil into us, Lord? That it wouldn't just flow over us, but it would be rubbed into us. That something of the dust and the crustiness of life, Lord, some of the darkness, some of the horrible things that we encounter and see and hear and all the rest, Lord, would just be washed off by your water and your oil would be rubbed into us. That would make us soft and compassionate. Lord, would you soften our hearts? Would you touch us in this time? Lord, we just say, we want you, Lord. And we want to respond to you. We want to respond to what you're saying to us this morning in whatever way is meaningful for us. So, Holy Spirit, it's over to you. Would you heal us? Would you bring that oil of gladness? Would you refresh us and touch us? So let's just feel free to move. There's space up at the cross if you just want to go and kneel there. Let's just move. Do something in the next wee while to respond to God.